copper continues to be a red-hot commodity, from the international market to your neighborhood junk dealer. The high demand and increased prices for scrap recycling has encouraged the theft of copper from construction sites and electrical substations to newly renovated homes. NPR's Audie Cornish takes a look behind the story.
Chuck Gann thought he was one of the lucky ones. The contractor actually helped catch a thief wrestling copper tubing out of his new air conditioning unit.
No, he took off running with everything he could, you know, still attached, really, because I did have my pistol out and scared him to death, so he took off running through the back.
Unfortunately, Gann still couldn't save his AC, says Nashville Police Sergeant Anna Williams.
He comes out here, chases the guy. The guy's caught. We arrest the guy, and while we're in booking this guy, somebody else shows up and finishes stealing the copper out of this air conditioning unit.
Sergeant Williams says in her East Nashville precinct alone, copper thefts are up 25% over last year, and she's not the only one to see a spike in reports. Last week in Georgia, two people were chased down by police dogs while trying to steal copper pipes and wiring from the department's canine training facility. In Kentucky and Arkansas, people have been electrocuted trying to take scrap metal from utility substations. Copper is 100% recyclable, and the scrap is especially valuable when there isn't enough freshly mined material to go around, says Ken Jeremiah of the Copper Development Association.
Well, yeah, it's a question of supply and demand, and right now there's an increased demand for it related to the third world developing countries, in particular China, which have put a huge stress on the availability of the product. It can only be made so quickly.
So copper that once sold for 80 cents a pound in 2000 is now going for nearly $4 a pound. At a local recycling company just a short drive away from Chuck Gann's neighborhood, scrap metal comes in from homeless men with shopping carts and contractors in pickup trucks. Sergeant Williams points to the piles of radiators, pipes, and other scrap and says junk metal copper is practically untraceable once it gets to places like this.
These guys have no idea. I mean, these guys working here, they don't know. As far as they know, it's somebody that's doing renovations on their house and bringing old stuff here. So, I mean, they have no clue that if something's being brought over here, it's stolen or not.
But now states are leaning harder on scrap metal recyclers to help address the problem. Last year, legislators in 17 states launched bills calling for provisions like new licensing, tougher fines, new record-keeping and monitoring responsibilities for recyclers. Lawmakers in Tennessee and Hawaii went so far as to pitch plans that required junk dealers to fingerprint their clients.
Well, we don't want to discourage legitimate recycling.
Steve Hirsch is from the Institute of Scrap Recycling Industries, an advocacy group. Hirsch says scrap recyclers support monitoring and record-keeping programs to help police investigations, but he says fingerprinting programs go too far and aren't likely to be effective.
People have for decades gone around and gathered materials and recycled them, and that's how many of our members' great-grandparents got started 100 years ago, and it's an important and legitimate business. And we don't want to discourage that by overburdening it with restrictions.
Meantime, police in Tennessee are taking matters into their own hands, launching a task force to take on the problem. They're starting with a database to notify junk dealers of large-scale copper thefts possibly headed their way, and are looking at a no-sale list, banning convicted thieves from selling to scrap recyclers. That, of course, won't help Chuck Gann. He recently discovered copper thieves had stolen the electrical wiring from his property as well. Audie Cornish, NPR News, Nashville.